I'm Aaron.
This is Paul.
This is Wayne.
And I am Andrew.
So, guys, it's not on the outline, but I got to talk to you about a book I picked up this week.
Sorry, it's not on the outline.
It's not on the outline.
Yeah, I mean, it's verboten if it's not on the outline.
I have to edit this part out, so go ahead and talk about it.
I'm deviating.
You're deviant? What?
I'm deviating. Not deviating, deviating. Okay. I picked up the Mighty Marvel calendar book, a visual history of all those great Marvel calendars from the 70s. You know, those great big spiral wall calendars. It is gorgeous. It's a great big art book. I mean, if I were to, drop this on somebody, it would hurt them because it is a great big heavy book. But it's got all the complete calendars in here from, you know, like 1970 to, you know, into the 80s. And it's just fantastic.
Is it the size of a calendar?
Yeah. Yeah. In fact, maybe even a little larger. It is huge and it's gorgeous. And they've just using, high quality paper to print the images. But it's got every single one of those just fantastic calendars all the way up through, I want to say, 82. I'm going to ruin the ending. all the way through 81. And it's just, I mean, God, I get so nostalgic for these because it wasn't just the monthly art. It was all the stuff on the various days. So, like, I'm looking at June 1981, and on the first day of the month, it'll give you a saying like, remember Daredevil's original outfit? And it'll have the image of his, you know, yellow and black outfit, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it just has all these little things. And sometimes it could be a character's birthday or a character's first appearance. It could be the anniversary of a specific comic, or it could just be, you know, a character saying something. But there was something going on every single day. And just these calendars were just so excellently produced. And I love that there's a book putting it all together. This thing is great. You know, there are those art books that you open up and look at maybe once or twice. But I think this one's going to have a perennial place on my coffee table because I love this thing so much.
Where did you come across this?
I saw somebody referencing it in social media. I'm like, wait, what's that? And so I went and looked it up and found it on Amazon. I mean, it's the first time I'd heard about it. I think it's been out for over a year. But it is just a gorgeous book. It's got an introduction by Roy Thomas. It's just a terrific book. Highly recommend. And it's cheap. It was $35.
Oh, that was going to be my next question was whether it was – okay. That's not bad.
Yeah, it's not prohibitively expensive at all. Anyway, I freaking love it. It's great. Highly recommend.
I did not have any of those calendars. At that age, at 81, when that goes through, at that point, I was getting Garfield calendars from my local school sale every year at the Scholastic Book Fair. So, So I was not into Marvel for a couple more years after 81. So
I just wasn't using calendars.
Were you already using your BlackBerry back then?
Yeah, no, he had his Palm Pilot.
I was already dreading the next day every day, so why keep track of it?
Kind of want to hug Wayne now.
I know, but you know, hey, this was a day to look forward to because it's our first time recording on a Saturday in quite some time.
It's true.
Probably about a month. It's probably been about a month since we've recorded on a Saturday because life has just been busy. But, you know, one of the reasons we haven't recorded on Saturdays is because last Saturday I was in New York. Was that last Saturday?
New York City.
New York
Get
City.
Get a rope.
Get a rope. our listeners over 40, which is pretty much all of our listeners, definitely got that.
Yes.
No, I was in New York City because back in September of last year, they had announced that they were doing a Stranger Things Broadway show. This is all leading into something that's actually on the outline. They had announced that they were doing a Stranger Things Broadway show. And I was drunk and I'm like, oh, we got to go see that. We got to come back to New York and see that show. So I bought tickets on the spot. to see this Stranger Things Broadway show. It might actually still be in previews. I don't know if it's officially open. I don't know the difference, frankly. But so that you know, from September to now April, I have finally seen the Stranger Things show. If you're a fan of the show, of the TV show, it's a prequel to that, set when some of the adult characters in the show are teenagers.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. I mean, some of the special effects, you know, live special effects, it's almost like watching a magic show. Like, you don't know how they did some of the things they did. I mean, people floating in air, giant monsters.
Witchcraft.
Witchcraft. That's probably how they did it.
Yeah. So there are monsters.
Yes, there are monsters. There are quite large monsters. There's a shipwrecked aircraft carrier. They do a lot in the show.
So does this break the storyline from the actual series? Because, you know, obviously the adults that I'm thinking of, I don't know which ones are in the play, but they weren't necessarily aware of horrible monsters before, you know, the shows.
Yeah, they find a way around, you know, contradicting anything. You know, it's written, it is very much, if you are a fan of the show, you know, season four focuses on essentially the big bad. It's this guy, Henry Creel. And this is about him as a teenager and how he ultimately came to be part of this program that ultimately, you know, trained Eleven to be the character that she is.
Okay. All right. No, I can get behind that.
And it features Winona Ryder and David Harbour's characters as teenagers, you know, so great. I mean, it is truly a great show. And if you're a fan of the series, highly recommend it. But, you know, we're sitting there and I like to get an aisle seat. Because I don't like, you know, like if one of us doesn't can have someone not sitting next to us, that's my preference. So I always, you know, aim for the aisle seats. So we're sitting on an aisle and I look across the aisle and I'm like, I know this guy. But I don't 100% know. So I Google and, you know, lo and behold, you know, long story continuing to be long, it's Shawn Levy. Shawn Levy is the executive producer of the Stranger Things TV show. He's also directed numerous episodes every season. He is also the director of many movies that you are probably familiar with, including Night at the Museum, Date Night.
So thinking show first, you recorded an interview and we're going to cut to that now, right?
I did not. But he also directed Deadpool and Wolverine. So, you know, I was like, holy crap, that's the director of Deadpool and Wolverine. And, you know, like, I didn't want to bug him. He had like hidden security, around, but I did get a very terrible selfie cause I was trying to be subtle about it. And he's a director. It's not like a lot of people were like recognizing him. But I did get a selfie with him, and that all leads to that this weekend.
Well, hold on. Can you really get an unwilling selfie? Like, if he's not involved, unwilling.
He was willing. He was willing. So he tried to be subtle about it. In that, like, I tried not. I didn't. I held the phone down instead of up. I didn't make like a big thing of it. I'm like,
but he saw you and acknowledged it.
Yes. Yeah. He saw me. He acknowledged it. He smiled. He posed. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. No, all
he
right.
talked. Yeah. No,
all
he said words.
Yeah. I'm with you.
Yeah.
That's much less creepy. Good. Good.
You know.
Well, and usually the way Paul gets his selfies is that the other person is drugged. So. You know.
Yeah, I didn't have to do any of that. Like, no, he was very accommodating.
That's cool. That's very cool.
But it was announced yesterday, as of this recording, that Shawn Levy is the director of the next Star Wars movie.
Oh.
Coming out in 2027. He's going to be directing Star Wars Starfighter. And it's
with Ryan Gosling.
With Ryan Gosling. And I'm like, holy crap. I took a picture with a director of a Star Wars.
So what are the odds Ryan Reynolds is going to be in the Star Wars movie?
I mean, pretty high. He's in a lot of his movies.
So. I know he was. I mean, he directed Free Guy, The Adam Project, as you mentioned, Deadpool, Wolverine. So maybe we see Ryan Reynolds in the Star Wars universe.
Maybe, you know, maybe as a voice of something.
Or inside, maybe he'll be like a you know, some sort of Imperial trooper in some sort of fancy outfit where we can't see the face.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like that's very likely. But yeah, again, that was pretty exciting.
He could be a Red Four that gets blown up in the trench. So.
He could play a young Porkins.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, you know, right now, and I think this is where this was released, right? Star Wars Celebration is going on right now in Tokyo, Japan.
Yep, it's happening in Tokyo this year, which is one of the reasons I didn't go. Let me clarify. I have nothing against Tokyo. I just
no. It seems like you're hating pretty hard. I know
that sounded pretty hateful, right?
No, fuck Tokyo. Like, yeah.
But I was like, you know, that's kind of a lot to go for a Star Wars convention.
The thing you have, the thing you have against Tokyo is the cost of going to Tokyo.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't have that kind of money after we've emptied your credit cards.
Exactly, right? And after moving, like, who knows? But you know, I also didn't want to like go to Tokyo just to spend 4 days inside. You know, convention center.
Well, but, you know, one of my friends actually is there. They did go to Tokyo for it, and he's been sending me pictures back, and it looks amazing. Now, I haven't been to any of the U.S. ones, so I can't really compare apples to apples. But he sent a picture of the line waiting to get in on the first day. It was just bonkers.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, he seems like he's having a great time. Seems like it's been fantastic. And also, apparently not – this isn't – I don't know if this is associated with Celebration, but apparently before they leave, they are signed up to do real-life Mario Kart in the streets of Tokyo.
Oh, no.
Okay.
Nice. So – apparently, it's something they do periodically, I guess. I've not heard of it before. He told me about it. But his description was like, oh, yeah, all people over there hate it.
I'm sure. It's funny how Aaron and I both had completely opposite reactions. I'm like, oh, sweet. And Aaron's like, oh, no.
So, yeah, I did not go either because it is a long, long, long way away. But I'm enjoying living God bless it, through him.
Yes, vicariously. I have friends there too, and I'm, you know, looking at their Facebook feeds constantly to look at the pictures. Yeah, I mean, it's, I love Star Wars Celebration. If it was in the U.S., of course, I would be there. But, you know, I was like, Tokyo's just a lot. That's a lot.
It's a long way away.
Yeah, and so they announced, you know, this Star Wars Starfighter coming in 2027. They've also announced a number of things over the last 2 days. You know, we're only 2 days in as of this recording, but most of the major announcements have already happened. Ahsoka Season 2 goes into production next week. You know, we'll feature, you know, most of the cast of Rebels, the surviving cast of Rebels. You know, will be featured as part of Season 2. You know, obviously they've recast Bail and Skull.
Yeah,
you know, and then they announced there's an upcoming animated series, two upcoming animated series, one that will premiere on May 4th this year, Tales of the Underworld, which is just another series of shorts like Tales of the Jedi and that other one that I forget, Tales of the Empire, maybe.
Is that going to be based any way, shape or form of the series that Lucas was working on for HBO back in the day?
They might recycle some of the scripts. I don't know. They haven't really connected that thread.
Do we know why? Have they said why it's taken so long for them to start production on the Season 2 of Ahsoka? Is it just scheduling conflicts or something else?
I think it's scheduling conflicts. I think there was a writer's strike right after the first season and then scheduling conflicts. And, you know, I think they've just kind of got a lot in production.
Yeah.
Right. It feels like it's been far too long. But
right.
So that you've got those, and you know, they announced there's an animated series coming next year featuring Darth Maul that will take place, I guess, before his death in Star Wars Rebels, but after the events of Han Solo, the movie. So looking forward to that.
So will this be Darth Maul without legs or without organic legs?
Correct. Okay. As the head of the underworld.
Okay.
You know, and Black Sun and all that stuff for us Heir to the Empire fans. You know, they made that connective thread with his character. So I think, you know, they'll probably recycle some of the stuff that they were trying to do as part of Solo 2. And, you know, probably incorporate it into this series. And they showed the first footage from next year's Mandalorian and the Grogu.
Aww.
The Mandalorian and Grogu. So, you know, they showed some footage from that, and that comes out next May. And, they, you know, Pedro Pascal was there. Apparently Sigourney Weaver is also in the movie because she's in everything now. But, you know, Pedro Pascal, there, you know, they showed him in costume and everything. So he's a busy guy because, you know, Pedro Pascal, he's had a banner week. He has, you know, the Mandalorian stuff coming out. He's got The Last of Us Season 2 just started, and we got a brand new trailer for Fantastic Four.
Well, I didn't realize until this week that Pedro Pascal was on an episode of Buffy.
Yeah, yeah.
Was it? Yeah, he was a vampire in an episode. There was it was one of those things you ran across in your For You page, and he was talking about how, like, he had this thing, you know, way back when he was young in Buffy, and then he had nothing forever, and he just kept working and working, and every now and then a residual check would come in for Buffy to pay off some bills until finally now, you know, with The Mandalorian, I guess, was his first really big thing, right? That's taken off.
To be honest, as many cameos as they had in that show, as many different characters would die each week, things like that, it's hard to find somebody that didn't have a role in at least an episode.
Buffy, yeah, it's kind of like Miami Vice back in the day, or Law and Order, right? Like 10, 15 years later, you're like, oh yeah, everyone was in that show.
Yeah, true. So yeah, but what do we think about the new Fantastic Four trailer?
I think it looks awesome.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it's just, you even have the feel, like when you're watching the trailer, you get the feel of this movie, that retro futuristic vibe.
I'm
going to be the soul dissenting voice here. Go ahead.
Oh, here we go. No, you go, Paul.
Well,
hit us with your hate, Paul.
It's not hate. I'm just not getting, I don't know, something about both trailers, isn't connecting with me. I'm not getting the warmth or the family aspect to it. I don't know, like something's not connecting with me on these trailers. Something doesn't feel right. It honestly, for what it worked, especially this new trailer, feels a lot like the Fantastic Four that we had back in the 2000s. Rise of the Silver Surfer and those.
You shut your whore mouth, Paul.
Yeah, I don't.
What is going on with you, Paul?
I could not disagree more with you. It very much has the family feel, more so than any of the 90s movies.
I don't know. Maybe I just need to give it another shot. But yeah, with this new trailer, I was like, I mean, I'm going to watch it, and I hope it's good.
I felt like there was a certain segment of social media that was just waiting for the first images of Silver Surfer to come out to just go ahead and begin dropping the hate. I mean, the stuff I saw online was just revolting. People just going off about, you know, female Silver Surfer. And you're like, Silver Surfer is a man. I'm like, well, actually, Silver Surfer is an alien. he, she, whatever. It doesn't matter. It's a character. It's fiction. Get over yourself.
Yeah, it's an alternate reality Earth. Yeah. It's not even the MCU Earth.
Yeah. Get out of here with your woke Silver Surfer. Jeez.
I was excited after seeing the new trailer, and Paul was wrong. I think he's wrong about this, and he was definitely wrong the other day when he badmouthed this announced Amazon live action Pacific Rim show they're working on. So that's two strikes, buddy. I'm just
Paul.
No, here's the thing. I love
you. Need to watch yourself, Paul. No, let me clarify. Watch yourself.
The Pacific Rim. You know, they announced an Amazon show, and I said it feels like a waste of money.
Yes.
But I did not say that I wasn't looking forward to it. Very much like Pacific Rim. I don't feel like the general public gives a crap about.
Oh, well, I'm not worried about their fiscal responsibility of Amazon when they're producing something I enjoy.
I was specifically referring to the money, not my enjoyment. You know, I think it'll be cool. I love the movies.
I'm fine with them spending as much money as they want on things that I like. So
exactly.
I don't.
You're losing money for me. I mean, really, yes, truly.
Correct. Bezos, he owes me so much for Comixology, what he did to it. I'm fine with him wasting as much money as he want on products that I like.
Well, you know what show I really did like is Daredevil Born Again. The season finale just happened. And I got to say, now, for me, it is very obvious that they shifted showrunners, you know, partway through the season. I definitely felt a material shift in tone. Mm-hmm. It almost felt like a different show in these last few episodes. These last two episodes were just fantastic. And the last episode especially, just brutal, violent. I mean, it is the most R-rated thing Marvel has done.
Yeah.
In a way, not to spoil it. I don't know if you want to take your headphones off or if you don't give a crap. But
I don't mind spoilers.
But violence like I've never seen in a Marvel thing. you know, that dude's head popping. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah. When the Punisher is fighting, you're like, oh my God. Oh my God. You know, it was great. It was great. And the after credit sequence, with, you know, Frank in his cell, like, hey man, just let me shake your hand. I'm like, do not shake his hand.
Like, and, duh.
Like, how stupid are you? Hey, Jersey, thanks for sharing that with me. Let me shake your hand. Man.
No, I thought it was fantastic. I was a little worried because I enjoyed the original series so much, and now that they're coming with this new kind of hybrid type thing, and you know, trying to combine it more with the MCU, and I thought they did it well. I mean, not every episode was perfect, not every line was dynamite, but overall, I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's so weird to me. Oh, go ahead, Aaron.
I was just gonna say the complaints I have are fairly minor. Like, I really wanted more Hector.
Yeah, I wanted to see him in the costume doing stuff.
Yeah, I wanted to see, you know, White Tiger doing White Tiger things.
Yep.
I wanted to see him and Matt fighting side by side. You know,
Things like dying.
I really wanted to see that, and we never got to see it.
No.
And it's super frustrating. I mean, I just like, God, you guys owed us that, you know, you really did. I mean, it was, I even if it was a flashback, I wanted to see it, but that was really my complaint this season. I mean, I feel like there is so much emotion, flowing between, you know, Karen and Matt, at the end of the series. So, and, you know, what's funny is that I'm not really connected with Heather. Heather?
Is that neither is Matt, apparently.
That's his, that's his current partner, right?
Yeah.
Law partner.
Well, and, you know.
No, Heather is.
No, Heather's. Yeah, I'll say. Heather's girlfriend. That's the psychiatrist. Yeah. The therapist.
And, you know, so when Karen comes in, I'm just like, oh, yeah, here we go. You know, it's smoking between them, you know, and. You just can feel it through the through the screen. I those two have such great chemistry. Now, one thing I will say is that in comparison to the Netflix series, Charlie Cox, is that his name?
Yes.
He doesn't seem nearly as cut as he was in the Netflix show. He seems a little softer. I don't know if anybody else feels that way, but there's something about him, particularly like in his face. He just doesn't seem quite as rugged as he seemed in the Netflix series. You know, every time
Daredevil for a year. He hasn't been working out.
I don't want to use the word pudgy, but there's a softness about him in this show that I was like, it's kind of hard to reconcile those two, but. But I did. I really enjoyed this show. I enjoyed this show a great deal.
Yeah, it was really just fantastic. You know, they're already in production on season two. Apparently, it's planned to come out next March, which, you know, it's appropriate timing, but feels so long. it's only a year, right? It's normal.
I mean, it's going to be faster than Ahsoka season two, for sure.
Fair.
Well, or almost anything else on streaming.
True.
You know, I mean, like, most stuff on streaming takes forever to come back out.
But Aaron, I would not call. I mean, I would agree that Charlie Cox does look a little not quite as cut, but as he did in the Netflix series. But it's also been how many years of real time? Dwayne had a good in-story continuity reason too. He hadn't been running the streets as Daredevil every night.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not as cut as I was 7 years ago either. So
that's true for me as well, but regrettably. But, you know, for me, I would not anyway call him pudgy.
There is a softness about him is what I was trying to get to. I mean,
I hear you. You know, I just looked it up. It has been 10 years.
Yeah.
That series started
since the first episode, show stopped.
Correct. Yeah.
Though there's four seasons, which was over probably 6 years. So maybe the show's been off for maybe 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
Well, and he had that shitty run on She-Hulk, which I never actually saw.
You didn't miss anything.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
Yeah.
I've seen clips online.
It was terrible. He was a highlight of the show, though.
He was. That's true.
There were some things I enjoyed in She-Hulk. I don't like how it ended, but.
Yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, there were a lot of small moments I really liked in She-Hulk. None of them involved She-Hulk, but which is sad because I'm a huge She-Hulk fan of, you know, of the character.
Well, you know, since we're talking about Hulks, you know, this week, all of us, well, I don't know. Andrew, did you read Godzilla vs. Hulk? I don't think so.
I've not really, I'm not the Godzilla fan you guys are. I've not read any of the Godzilla versus books.
We had Godzilla versus Hulk number one this week, you know, continuing this Godzilla versus series. And Godzilla is getting around. You know, in addition to all these one shots, they have announced that upcoming we have a Godzilla versus the Marvel Universe series later this year, and Justice League versus Godzilla versus Kong 2 is also coming out later this year. So Godzilla really just wants to fight everyone. He's kind of like Aaron in that fair. Anyone who walks to his front door, he will fight.
Yeah, like these are all part of the Godzilla versus the Marvel Universe thing. There's a coming up Godzilla versus Avengers, Godzilla versus X-Men.
Yeah. But, you know, this week we had Godzilla versus Hulk, which, you know, features art by, I think, Giuseppe Kimunkeli, and written by Jerry Dugan. Right off the bat, I'm going to say the art was much better than the Godzilla versus Fantastic Four issue. But we have now jumped from, you know, I believe that was set in the 60s or 70s, the last book.
Yeah, the last one was the 60s. This one was
more 70s based, right? Correct. So we've kind of got that continuity of the Hulk, that appearance of the Hulk. And, you know, that appearance of Godzilla, you know, very much drawn in the title page inside the book. They kind of show here's the era in which this is set by featuring, you know, comic book pages of Godzilla set in that era. So that was pretty cool. I liked that, you know, that was the. Yeah, here's where we're establishing the time frame.
So I have some serious issue with these Godzilla series that they're doing right now with Marvel. Each one seems to be in its own, like, here is the world with its own history around Godzilla in it. And we're going to hint at it. We're going to hint at better stories than the one you're reading and not tell you them. Also, in this case, we're going to give you Godzilla versus Hulk as a title without the two ever actually fighting.
Yeah,
that's true.
Godzilla versus Hulk. Hulk doesn't show up until like page 18 of a 30-page book.
Yeah, and doesn't fight Godzilla at all. He immediately sides with him.
This is really General Ross versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
And I don't think many people would pick up that book, which is why they bait and switched and call it Hulk versus Godzilla.
Yeah. And the world they set up is basically, like we mentioned Pacific Rim earlier, it's very much like the Pacific Rim world.
Yeah.
Except Ross has gone through and killed all of these kaiju, including Fin Fang Foom. How did he kill Fin Fang Foom? I want to see that story.
Yeah.
How did Banner frame, Rick Jones as being Hulk and they bury him? Yeah, I want to see that story.
I was like, that seems kind of shitty.
Yeah. All of the, everything really interesting they tell is something that happened in the past and way more interesting than this actual Godzilla confrontation.
Yeah, I thought this book was terrible. I thought the Fantastic Four book was terrible. I just have not enjoyed either one of these. And I think the missed opportunity here is not seizing on the already established Godzilla continuity in the Marvel Universe. Why are we not seeing Dum Dum Dugan having to get the S.H.I.E.L.D. Team back together to, you know, deal with Godzilla?
Yeah, right? And they already in that series had built giant robots to fight Godzilla.
Yeah.
Where's he at?
Well, and in my mind, I think my issue with at least the series so far, and I've got to imagine it's going to be different in the next book, but who knows, is that these first two issues are basically the same story. It is, let's find an excuse for Godzilla to show up and for there to be an issue-long fight. And then Godzilla is going to assume some of the powers of the lead character. So he had the power cosmic last issue. This year he's gamma radiated. In the next issue, which is Godzilla versus Spider-Man, it's set in the 80s, which is the symbiote era of Spider-Man. So, like, are we going to basically see Venom Godzilla? Like, are we?
Yes, you know, I guarantee you that's what they're going to do.
Yeah,
because they have it's a one track story.
Yeah, these books are awful, and I think I'm out for the other Godzilla books.
Here's the thing: I'm a glutton. I'm going to buy the third one. I know. I mean, that cover is just beautiful.
Oh, Paul.
The Nick Bradshaw cover featuring Godzilla storming the New York with Spider-Man swinging in the foreground. I'm like, oh, but that's so pretty.
Well, how about this? How about I come to your house? I'll do this just for you. I'll come to your house on New Comic Book Day, and I'll stand there and just maybe light your You'll give me $8. I'll bring my lighter. I'll just burn it in front of you, and it'll be about the same experience.
Yeah. Probably take about the same amount of time. So
Yeah.
I don't know. I know I'm going to buy that stupid third issue. I know I am. Okay. You know, we are recording this again on Saturday, April 19th, and yesterday, Friday, April 18th, was Superman Day.
Woo!
Featured a ton of major Superman announcements. We got a behind-the-scenes featurette of the upcoming Superman movie directed by James Gunn. We got a bunch of toy announcements. You know, we've got new Fortress of Solitude play sets and things like that, you know, leading up to the movie. And it was also a big week for Superman in comics because we got the Summer of Superman special which came out from DC Comics and features basically the upcoming creative or the upcoming writers. It was all drawn by Jorge Jimenez. But, you know, we've got the three Superman writers, because we have Mark Waid, he'll be taking over Action Comics. Dan Slott, he'll be writing Superman Unlimited, and Joshua Williamson, who writes the main Superman title. And they basically, you know, take turns writing this three-part storyline focused on the wedding of Lana Lang and John Henry Irons. So what'd you guys think of Summer of Superman?
You know, I liked all of the connective tissue in the book. I liked the story about him and Lana, the story, with John Henry Irons and Lana getting married. I enjoyed all of that sort of backstory and sort of recasting Superman's past. You're reestablishing Superboy as a character within the current DC universe. I thought that was fun. What I did not care for was the weakest link in the book, which was the appearance of Validus as the connecting villain throughout these various stories. I think Validus is kind of a one-note sort of character and just...
Or no notes, really, since he doesn't talk. It was such an interesting choice. Do we just... another brainless brawler like Doomsday kind of thing.
See, yeah. I didn't mind it because he's there because of their villains they're setting up, which is Darkseid's version of the Legion of Superheroes. My issues with the book was I hated the artwork.
Really? I liked the artwork. I had no issues with the artwork.
I hated the art, especially the early Beck and Smallville stuff. Like, I found I didn't have as many issues when they're in costume. But any of the out-of-costume stuff, I absolutely hated. And I think at this point, and I hate to say it because I loved when they started this whole Superwoman storyline, but I think I'm getting burnt out on just the scope of the Superman family. There are too many of them. I need them to pare back. It's getting to the point of, you remember when we had too many Hulks?
Yeah. We actually had an episode of this very podcast called Too Many Hulks.
Yeah, I feel like I've gotten to that point. There's too many supers. I need them to pare down some of them. Take the twins' powers away or something, because there's just too many characters with that power set. And I still have no idea storyline-wise, because the New 52 got mostly undone. How did Lana even get her powers?
Yeah, I'm unclear on that as well.
Yeah, I haven't seen it explained since they brought her back.
Mm-hmm. I think I actually do remember when that happened. Because she was in, that was part of, maybe part of the New 52? There was a super girl or super woman book.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. She got her powers in the New 52 with the New 52 version of Lois Lane. And then the New 52 version of Lois Lane went away, but Lana still suddenly has those powers.
Yeah, they combined the continuity in that Superman Rebirth
storyline. It's, I need them to pare back the characters. There's too many super characters.
I do agree. I think there's so many that some of them are literally off cycle. Like Supergirl, you know, Kara is just babysitting this entire issue, despite the fact that there's a massive brawl going on in Smallville. You know, she's just kind of back in Metropolis watching the kids.
I am also annoyed that they're giving her a new costume, because I was really happy with the costume that she had.
Yeah.
And I hate the new one. It's just it feels like a huge step backwards for the character.
Yeah, but you're also getting a crypto book out of it, so.
True.
I'm excited about the crypto book.
I am too. I'm really looking forward to that, because I'm in the back of this issue. They have the Summer of Superman, all of the books coming up that are Superman related. And I was excited about the crypto one. I am excited about the new prestige format, or the Treasury edition.
Yeah, the Hero for All, but Dan Jurgens and Bruno Redondo, which is, I mean, that's a killer creative team. You know, Bruno Redondo was the artist on most of Tom Taylor's run from Nightwing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there'll be some imaginative stuff there. And Wayne, you know, the one I'm kind of excited about is Adventures of Superman, the Book of L. You know, Aaron and I read that whole Philip Kennedy Johnson storyline, and this is, you know, a 12-issue limited series that basically concludes what he intended for that arc, which I didn't realize he got cut short, honestly. I thought he brought it to its natural conclusion and he was good, but it sounds like, you know, maybe they just kind of wanted to reshuffle because of everything happening with this all-in and absolute stuff, and so, you know, he's going to finish his storyline elsewhere, which I'm good with. I'm looking forward to that.
So Mark Waid's going to be writing Action Comics, and yes, Joshua Williamson will be doing Superman. And we have Dan Slott coming over to Superman Unlimited with Raphael Albuquerque doing the artwork on that. I got to say, I'm really looking forward to Superman Unlimited. I generally like Dan Slott's writing. I haven't read anything by him in a long time, but I'm looking forward to what he's going to do with Superman there. And he's not a stranger to Superman, because he was writing the animated series book for a while.
Yeah, which I loved. I actually read that when it was coming out. He did a great job on that stuff. You know, it's interesting. Some of the writers who were on those books, you know, he was writing Superman at the same time that Mark Miller was writing, you know, some of that stuff as well. And it's like, oh, I mean, they really wrote some great Superman back in the day.
Yeah. But, and in the regular pages of our ongoing Superman story, I have to say I'm excited to see how General Zod responds to Lois Lane having his powers.
Right.
I'm really looking forward to how that shakes loose, because I don't think Zod's going to take that really well.
No.
Yeah, I am really looking forward to the next issue of Superman, the big 25th issue,
mm-hmm,
where we have a new version of Lex Luthor versus Superman.
Yeah,
I got caught up on Superman last night, so it's very fresh.
Yeah, I'm enjoying what's happening in the Superman book. You know, I have actually been out on Action Comics for a little bit, because they've been kind of doing these, they've kind of just been doing these one-off stories that aren't really tied to what's going on in the main continuity. So I haven't felt like it's been necessary, but you know, I think I'm all in on almost every Superman book that they announced in the back of this book. I'm going to give at least everything.
Yeah, I think I am too. I'm excited about all of that back there.
So Aaron, being another huge Booster fan, what did you think about the Validus being, you know, Booster's fault? That Booster's the one that sent him back.
Well, that's not surprising. Everything is Booster's fault. So I just felt bad that Booster is, you know, hanging up by his wrists and chains, and, you know, clearly being abused. My poor Booster.
Well, yeah, and it's interesting, because you've got the dark side symbol, but there's a star in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I do like that they are tying together some of that stuff. I mean, it's only really been a few months, I guess about 6 months since the Absolute Universe started, give or take. But I do like that, you know, we are returning to that story from All In #1. Because I've been wanting to know, like, okay, how is this stuff tying together? What happened to Booster Gold, you know, after the cliffhanger? So I'm looking forward to, you know, clearly they're building up to something probably after the summer, you know, some big event.
Yeah, and Darkseid's Legion showed up in Superman, so we've been seeing them pop up.
So lots of fun stuff. It is definitely the summer of Superman coming up with the movie and all these books. And as a Superman fan, I'm excited.
Very exciting.
Hey, Paul. I can't wait for all the merchandise.
Yes.
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
What's coming out next week?
Well, speaking of Superman, let's go ahead and start with Superman issue 25, which is an oversized milestone 25th issue. Featuring the return of Lex Luthor. You know, his memory came back just recently in a special. So, you know, looking forward to checking that one out. Written by Joshua Williamson, art by Dan Mora and Eddie Barrows and Jamal Campbell, because it's oversized. So looking forward to that. Also from DC Comics, we have the latest issues of Batman, which is the continuation of Jeff Loeb's and Jim Lee's Hush sequel. The newest issue of Absolute Wonder Woman and Absolute Martian Manhunter as well. And finally, from DC Comics, we have Justice League Unlimited issue 6, which we haven't talked about that book in a little bit because I haven't really been enjoying it. But it is the second part of We Are Yesterday, which is a crossover between Batman, Superman, World's Finest, and Justice League Unlimited, both written by Mark Waid. I really, really enjoyed World's Finest this week. It's a Gorilla Grodd storyline set in the past, but really well written. It's World Finest issue 38, and so it's a 6-part crossover between both books. So looking forward to seeing how that storyline continues in Justice League Unlimited. From Marvel Comics, we've got the third issue of One World Under Doom and the first issue of Predator versus Spider-Man coming from Marvel Comics as well.
So you know what else is coming out next week, Paul?
What's that?
Issue number 3 of Superman, The Last Days of Lex Luthor. So we had 2 years between issue 1 and 2, but only a month between issue 2 and 3.
I'm sure that's going to go well. I totally forgot about that book. So that comes out. And from Image Comics, we have the end of the first story arc of G.I. Joe. G.I. Joe issue 6 featuring Duke versus Cobra Commander.
Nice.
It's all been leading to this and the ending no one will see coming. So we'll definitely get caught up on G.I. Joe for next week.
I'm excited about that.
Aaron will too.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Aaron, get caught up, Aaron.
Totally gonna happen.
One of us.
Well, hey, we want to know what you thought of this week's comics, what you thought of Daredevil Born Again. Which one of the new Star Wars properties are you excited about? Give us a shout at ideologyofmadness@gmail.com or iomgeek@gmail.com, your choice. If we use your comment on the show, you could win a coveted, valuable Ideology of Madness surprise.
You can also hit us up on social media, iomgeek on Facebook, Instagram, or X.
What a deal. Well, hey, guys, you guys have some G.I. Joe books to read.
You've got 5 issues to read.
Yeah, you got a bunch, Aaron.
Well, I'm going to commit a whole lot of time to not reading the new World Under Doom book.
Are you out on One World Under Doom?
God, that One World Under Doom books suck.
Yeah, I mean, I know we didn't like the second issue. I didn't know you were completely
I think I'm out. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, well, we might not be one podcast under Doom next week.
Maybe. All right, guys. We'll do it again next week.
Gotcha then.
See ya.
Podcast theme music graciously provided by Mark Andrew Pope. For more information, visit markandrewpope.com. Funny Books with Aaron and Polly is a production of ideologyofmadness.com. No Spider-Man clones were harmed in the production of this podcast.